Yes, welcome back, everybody, to another edition of The Jungle Show. We are back here on Auburn Daily's YouTube channel and Twitch live stream to discuss Auburn basketball, just like we are after every single game. This one, we had to wait after two games. This past week, Auburn goes 0-2 in two struggle-filled games, especially three of the four halves played. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Auburn loses to Texas A&M by a score of 79-63, ending their home winning streak as the longest in the country. And then they go and lose at West Virginia in Morgantown by a score of 80-77. To do that and to talk about it, I brought in my dad and co-host again. Dad, what are your initial thoughts? Taking in the Texas A&M game, the West Virginia game as well. Auburn goes 0-2, drops. We'll probably be talking about dropping out of the top 25. So assuming when this goes live, we'll know what the top 25 is, even though that doesn't mean any crap at all. But after what you saw in these four halves of basketball, what are your initial thoughts?
Get rid of all the players, fire all the coaches. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I was supposed to be channeling Auburn Twitter. I thought we should have won the Texas A&M before the week. I thought we would win Texas A&M game. I thought the West Virginia game was going to be a struggle. Yeah. It's on the road. It's the loudest crowd we've played in front of. They're a very good defensive team. I had no idea that we would not be able to guard the point guard for Texas A&M at all.
Yeah.
And then I had no idea that the kid at West Virginia would remember what Derek Hall did to him last year and go off on us.
Yeah, so in these two losses, just like you mentioned, Auburn had players who against them went for Tyrese Radford went for 30 points and Eric Stevenson went for 31. And they did it in two completely different ways. And we'll talk about that when we talk about the games. But before we talk about that, just want to remind y'all that this video is sponsored by NordVPN. Staying safe online is an ever-growing difficulty, and you could be exploited by hackers. NordVPN allows you to change your IP address, making you harder to track and secure your privacy. NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal. Check out the link in the episode description down below today. And check out NordVPN. Auburn needed some security after these two games. And
they want to change our IP address.
No kidding. Yeah, this could be – it was a struggle. So first talking about the Texas A&M game, of course, this past Wednesday, Auburn just gets dominated from start to finish in this game. Outside of the first minute and a half.
It was 10-2.
This was Texas A&M's basketball game the entire way. And it was obviously led by the guy we mentioned just a minute ago, Tyrese Radford. 30 points, went 8 of 17 from the field, 3 of 7 from the three-point line, 11 of 12 from the free throw line. He had 9 rebounds and 2 assists as well. A dominating performance, proving that he is one of, if not the best point guard in the SEC right now. Auburn had absolutely no answer for not only his step-back three, but his straight-line drive. And we talked about that 10-2. Auburn jumped out of the gate, led 10-2. I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. I'm excited about this. Yep. And from then on, A&M just kept making shots. And they were outside shots. They were well-guarded shots. And then it got to a point at the end of the first half where they just started straight-line driving down the slot and just laying it up and layup. They got layup after layup after layup. Mm-hmm. And they had the guys that made those plays, especially Tyrese Radford and Taylor as well. So something needs to be fixed defensively for Auburn, because he wasn't just straight line driving on Wendell. He was doing it to Zepp. He was doing it to KD, who are two of the best on-ball defenders. He was doing it to everybody guarding. He was doing it to Allen. He was doing it to everybody guarding him, was just getting straight line driven by especially Radford, but everybody out there for Texas A&M. Something's got to be fixed defensively. What can Coach Bruce Pearl and the staff go and talk about with this game and the West Virginia game as well to fix these defensive problems? Because you can't have 79 points scored on you and 80 points scored on you in these games and expect to win.
So Bruce Pearl made a change in the Texas A&M game that worked. We went to zone. It stopped the driving. We didn't stay in it the whole second half, which surprised me a little bit. All right, so before, in our last show, we were talking about Wynn Green being the best point guard in the SEC.
We were
playing like it.
Yeah, we were proved wrong.
And the very next game, the best point guard in the SEC played in Auburn's gym, but he was wearing Texas A&M colors.
Yeah.
That kid, he wasn't driving to pass like a lot of point guards do. Yeah. He was driving and challenging our bigs at the rim and whipping them.
Yeah.
And so what do you do about it? You either play a much softer man to where you're not all the way up on people, or you play zone. They went to that 1-1-3 that they play where they jump the first pass and go to kind of a 2-3, and then they have another pass or two. They seem to play matchup, which I'm fine with. It worked. We got several stops in a row.
Back in the game
a little bit. We're not really built to come back from large margins. At least that's what I thought. And then we played in the next game. We did come back from a large margin. But usually you need to hit some threes to come back from that type of a margin.
Yeah.
I'm going to prove myself wrong in the next game. But we've got to be able to I know he doesn't like to play zone. I know I hate watching Syracuse play zone because I think they're the easiest team to beat.
Yeah.
But at some point, the straight line drives have got to stop.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, it's not like Zepp is a bad defender. He's an elite defender.
Yeah.
KD is an elite defender. We were talking in the last podcast that, Wynn's become a much better defender. Yeah. Allen is an elite defender. And I say that, but then I watched that Texas A&M game, and none of them were elite defenders. Elite defenders don't get driven, like you said, from the slot to the basket anytime they wanted it.
Yeah.
I like Buzz Williams or whatever his name is.
He's a great defensive player.
I like their coach. Yeah. He does play defense. But he didn't have to draw a lot of stuff up. He just said, hey, point guard, they can't stay in front of you. Just go to the bucket. And that's what they did. And they whipped us on our floor by doing that. And it was not fun to watch.
No, it was not. So looking down more at the Auburn stat sheet, struggled to shoot the ball. 3 of 16 from 3, that's not going to cut it, especially when the other team's shooting 7 of 19. 75% from the free throw line, that's 18 of 24.
I'll take that.
You make four of those six misses. When you cut it to 8, you actually cut it to 2.
Yeah.
Or when you cut it to 8, you actually cut it to 4. When you cut it to 6, you cut it to 2. So it changes the game. You got to make free throws, and we'll talk about that with West Virginia coming up because they made every free throw they shot,
except
for one. But looking down more at the Auburn stat sheet, we had players that played really well. I mean, I think Wendell did played a good game. He got outplayed, but played a good game. He had 16 points. He had 5 assists. Got in foul trouble. He's gonna score. He's gonna score more points. Jani Broome played really well. I thought he.
Mm-hmm.
Showed his dominance against a guy like Henry Coleman, who dominated Walker Kessler last year. And Jani Broome kind of took him over in this game and played really well. Had 16 points as well, 7 rebounds. And then you look down the stat sheet and it's like, there's some struggles. There's Allen Flanagan, 3 of 10. That's not what we've been seeing from Allen. That's a little odd. KD goes 0 for 2 from 3, has, 5 points. So it just wasn't a well put together offensive game, but there's one question that I want to ask. Okay. And I know Zach Blackerby asked this on Locked On Auburn, asked this to Zepp, and it was an interesting question. I want to get your thoughts on it as well. Jalen Williams shot 5 shots in this game, had 8 points. three of five in those five shots, had seven assists and three rebounds. But he shot five shots, had seven assists. I love that he is, you know, getting guys involved. I love that he is not selfish. I love that he is, and he's such a good, he's so good at it. He had seven assists. He's a great passer. He's a great rebounder. He has a great passer. He does everything. We call him the Swiss Army Knife for a reason. Mm-hmm. He's got to shoot more than five shots.
He has.
He's the best player on the team. He's got to shoot more than five shots.
He has to get more than five shots.
Yeah.
It's not that simple because Bruce even said, I think after the game, that he really appreciated the way Jalen played passing the ball and playing unselfish. And I understand that. And I don't want selfish players.
Yeah.
But Alan Flanagan went 3 of 10. Jalen Williams went 3 of 5. Jalen's got to get 10. At least Jalen needs to be shooting the ball 15 times a game.
Yeah.
He's gotten a little cold from three.
Yeah.
And that's just that'll come. He's still our best 3-point shooter. He's got to shoot it more than five times.
Yeah.
And some of that's on his teammates not getting the ball in the right spaces.
Agreed.
Some of that's on him. Yeah. We run and Buzz had this completely scouted.
Yep.
We run the flex cut with Jalen setting the screen on the down on the back on the cut on the baseline, and then that screener, usually Jalen, rolls right into the middle of the lane, and that's where we're looking.
Yep,
we're looking for that pass for Jalen to get it with a little left hand hook shot. Buzz had seen that play, and over hedged that. Wouldn't let us throw that.
Yeah, played it really, really well.
He played it perfectly. And we didn't have an answer for that.
Yeah.
There's got to be an answer for that. Whether Jalen, if he sees that, post him up and swing the ball around and dump it into him.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. But that was one thing I noticed was we're not going to get the ball to Jalen as much. If other teams have seen that.
Yep.
It's not hard to scout that. When I saw it happen, I went, ooh, very good call by Buzz.
Yep.
That's a really good – he knows really that Jalen can hurt him, and that's a really good scout.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason he only got five shots.
Yeah, I guarantee that every single one of the coaches that you play from now on knows that Jalen can hurt them as well and is going to do the exact same thing.
You've got to come up with a counter.
A
counter to that. Now, when we went to West Virginia, they didn't do that. And no. Jalen got several little push shot jump hooks. And I was like, yeah, look, the Big 12 SEC challenge, and it's going to be the ACC SEC challenge next year. I don't like it right in the middle of the SEC schedule. And I'm sure that what's his name up in West Virginia doesn't like it in the middle of his Big 12 schedule because he hadn't taken the time scout at Auburn. He had done a week's worth of work.
Yeah.
Buzz had done a lot of work.
Yep.
Because it's an SEC game. West Virginia hadn't scouted that play. If they would have, they'd have done the same thing, but I guarantee you Tennessee has. Yep. I guarantee you Georgia, and Kentucky. And A&M, we got to play them again.
Yeah.
Ole Miss has. They're not going to allow that dump in. So you find a counter to it and you run it. Yeah. And Bruce will. These people panicking after two straight losses. Kansas just pulled out a win over Kentucky yesterday after three straight losses. They were the national champions last year. So let's not panic.
Yeah, we're not here to panic. We're not great.
We've got a lot to work on.
There's not a great team in college basketball.
But there's not a great team in college basketball.
Exactly.
So exactly. We just go on and go from there. So
moving on and talking about the West Virginia game. Before we do, I want to get your thoughts on the SEC Big 12 Challenge. Of course, just like you mentioned, this is the last year for the SEC Big 12 Challenge. Next year will become the SEC versus ACC Challenge. You'll get to see matchups against North Carolina, Duke, NC State, Wake Forest, Florida State, Clemson, those kind of schools, Boston College, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech. So you get to see those matchups, and that's going to be a different vibe when it comes to, especially it being in the middle of the conference schedule, I mentioned. There. So,
yeah.
And it's going to be interesting. The matchups are going to be interesting. I'm excited about some matchups outside of just Auburn. Who's Auburn going to play? It's going to be different every year. But speaking on what happened on Saturday in the ACC Big 12, 8, 7 of the 3 or 7 of the 10 games and wins the challenge with ease. It gets me a little concerned about the SEC just in general, because the only team that truly looked dominant in their game for the SEC was Tennessee. Tennessee had a dominant home win over a really good this team.
And Missouri. Missouri was dominant over Iowa State.
It was Iowa State, but
Iowa State's top of the league, really, by the way. They're number one in their league. So
the only other win for the SEC outside of Missouri and Tennessee, just like we mentioned, the SEC had 3 wins out of the 10 games, was an overtime win for Mississippi State over a ranked TCU team.
I was shocked by that.
That is not what I would have thought.
Congratulations, Mississippi State. Yeah, absolutely.
And the other games, of course, just like you mentioned, Kansas went to Rupp and beat Kentucky.
It was a good game.
Auburn goes to West Virginia and loses. Alabama gets embarrassed by Oklahoma and Norman, which is just
perfect. I don't even understand
what even happened there.
Oklahoma's not that good. Alabama didn't show up like they wanted to play. No. They looked like they didn't want to be there. And it's like I said, that's not an SEC game. So they probably didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, Auburn looked like – I thought the Auburn game was going to turn into what that one turned into.
Yeah.
Because for the first half, Auburn didn't want to be there.
Yep.
But Auburn showed some guts and
some fight, yeah.
Some passion.
Yeah.
Alabama just never did.
Yep.
They never did. And
Alabama got
it ended up being what?
93-69. Yeah, a 24-point loss. Which
it was 32 with about 4 minutes left. That game was not that close.
24 points is the largest loss of any top 3 ranked team to an unranked team ever.
Ever.
So they got absolutely embarrassed. Texas Tech goes and beats LSU only by 8. LSU showed fight in that game. Baylor beat Arkansas by 3.
That was a good game, by the way.
Kansas State embarrassed Florida in Gainesville, and Oklahoma State embarrassed Ole Miss in Stillwater.
Yeah,
so it's about 7-3 win for Big 12.
Look, the top team in our league got run out of the building.
Yep.
The second place team in our league held their own on their own home court.
Yep.
I don't think Texas is as good as people say, with their coach not. I mean,
they've gone through a lot
coaching issue. Kentucky's kind of back.
No,
but Kansas really played well.
Yeah,
really Kansas played is well.
A really good basketball team built for March. By the way,
and they had
good guards.
They had lost 3 straight basketball games in that conference.
And that
Big 12 conference. Yeah, that Big 12 conference is really good.
I agree.
They're better than the SEC, and they proved it.
Yep. Yeah. So. That's the point to make right there. But let's talk about this Auburn-West Virginia game. Auburn loses 80-77 with a Wendell Green air ball at the buzzer. Obviously, that's I didn't expect that shot to go in. I was really wanting it to, but, you know.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the first half, because this is a tale of two different halves, and we'll be as quick and as swift with this as we can. Auburn loses the first half by 16 points, goes into halftime down 45-29, and it was not that close.
No, it wasn't.
Auburn was really lucky this was only 16. Dominating first half performance by West Virginia. Eric Stevenson, who had 31 in the game, had 13 in the second half, or 13 in the first half, 4 threes. Every shot that guy shot, it was going in.
He hit a fallaway three with 2 guys on him as the shot clock was running down.
Yeah,
from about the timeline. So anything he was throwing up was going in. And I sat there and thought, man, I wish Derek Hall would have taken care of him last year. Just met him outside like he wanted to, and finished him off. You know, we took a look at Stevenson in the transfer portal.
We did. Yeah,
we did. Duke can shoot. He was much better than he was at South Carolina. Obviously, playing for Bob Huggins has gotten him going.
Yeah, no doubt. So, and then Auburn fights back in the second half, winning the second half by 13, but just coming up short. Had multiple chances to take the lead or to tie the game or to really get back what was in it the entire last 5-6 minutes. They showed incredible work and passion in that second half, winning that second half by 13 points. In that second half, Jani Broome looked like the best player on Auburn's team, if it's not Jalen Williams. Both of those two were dominant. Katie Johnson came alive in that second half.
Thank God.
Made some mistakes, but also made some plays.
Played great.
That leads to Auburn's success in this game, or in this second half, but Auburn comes up just short. So some stats to point out. Auburn has 22 bench points in this game, which is the most they've had since non-conference play. 10 from Katie Johnson, 7 from Trey Donaldson. Trey played a great game, by the way. Trey played absolutely outstanding in that, especially in the second half down the stretch. Leo Berman hit a 3, and Dylan had a dunk. So looking at the stat sheet, obviously the best player looks like Jalen Williams. But who had the most impressive performance in this game? I'll narrate it down. Who had the most impressive performance coming off the bench?
So I think Trey Donaldson earned, if not starting minutes, at least significant off the bench minutes. And when I say starting minutes, I'm not talking about in place of Wynn.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in place of Zepp. I love Zepp Jasper.
He played great. Trey played great.
And he gives you a lot on defense, but he really doesn't give you much on offense. Every once in a while, he hits a 3. Trey gives you another ball handler to start the game and lets Wynn play off ball a little bit. I don't know. That's not what's going to happen, obviously. But I was really impressed with Trey Donaldson. It's great to see KD have a game where he finally starts making a couple shots, because we need him.
Yeah.
He has been a missing link in our losses, especially, but in our wins, he's been absent. At one point in the first half, my thought process was, there's no way no way KD's coming back next year. He will get processed.
Yeah.
You don't bring him back because he's not helping.
No.
Then he had a good second half. I will say, about midway through the second half, we were making a run, and I tweeted out after this play happened, I said, Auburn had the ball down 7 with a shot that Wendell makes 9 out of 10 times. It was a reverse, wide open reverse layup.
Yep.
It spun out. He misses, and they get a 3-point play on the other end. They shot it, got fouled.
5-point swing.
Do we have mental toughness to overcome this adversity? Because I thought either that's the end of the game. It very easily could have been the end of the game because they went back up 10 points.
100%.
Or do you have the guts to come back? The comeback, by the way, was not 3-point shooting. The comeback was Jalen needs to shoot the ball 10 times and Jani needs to shoot the ball 10 times.
Yeah.
And let's force feed them the basketball. So I hope that we found something in that second half. Number one, you found mental toughness was on display.
Yeah.
They could have
folded the entire second half.
Yes. They could have folded after Wynn did that. They could have folded when KD made the shot, got fouled, and we're 1 point down. All he has to do is make a free throw. He misses it. They could have folded when Jalen gets a chance at a 3-point play and just misses the bunny, so he's not able to finish it. So there were plenty of times when that team could have folded, and they didn't. So it's impressive what they did, but I hope more than anything they learned you go to Jalen and Jani as often as possible.
100%.
That they can carry your team. And if you go inside out and you can get an open three, then that's fine.
Yep.
But dribbling around and passing out on the perimeter and shooting a three is not going to – you're not going to win anything.
Yeah. So in this game, Auburn shoots 49%, 32% from three. In this game, of the 29 made shots, 14 of them were made by Jalen Williams or Jani Broom. Of their 77 points, 33 of them were from Jalen or Jani. Of their 31 rebounds, 12 of them were Jalen or Jani. Just like you mentioned, just like last year, this team is run through the front court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've talked about if Wendell plays good, Auburn's going to play good. If Wendell plays bad, Auburn's going to play bad. That is so very true, and that is evident in these two games. But this team will run through the front court, especially offensively.
Yeah,
and exactly. In the Texas A&M game, and hang on, Jani Broom had 12 shots. In the West Virginia game, he had 11. But the difference, especially the second half of the West Virginia game, Jalen Williams had 5 shots in the Texas A&M game. He had 11 in this game. That's 8 points to 18 points.
Mm-hmm.
That's 10 points that, you know,
that you didn't have
in that Texas A&M game. Because if you would have scored 77 points in that Texas A&M game, you would have lost by 2.
Yeah, things would have been a lot
different. So it's a tale of two different halves in the Auburn-West Virginia game that you didn't have a tale of two different halves in the Texas A&M game. So you see the promise. You see the potential for this Auburn team to make runs. We've seen their potential to get hot. You know, we had a stretch right after the Georgia game where we beat Arkansas, the two Mississippi schools, LSU, and South Carolina. That was that 5-game win streak was really, really good. Mm-hmm. We were playing our best basketball. Can this team overcome these two losses, build on the second half against West Virginia, and go into the toughest February I think I've ever seen in an Auburn basketball schedule? Because it is a gauntlet. It is a dogfight. But it's all going to be about mental toughness and adversity. Can this team overcome these two losses, especially that Texas A&M game, especially with that being at home and the way you lost that game, and then, you know, getting down way early against West Virginia and clawing your way back and having a shot, should have won.
Mm-hmm.
You get a game against Georgia, a revenge game against Georgia at home on your home floor again on Wednesday. And then, man, it just
Northern Tennessee.
It just gets harder and harder and harder.
Yeah, it's so, one of the things that I did notice in the West Virginia game was, yes, we had a guy go for 30, but he wasn't doing it straight line driving to the hole.
No.
He was hitting guarded 3-point jump shots. They really have good guards, and we didn't let them drive.
Yeah.
So Zepp especially got 2 jump balls, I think, on back-to-back possessions.
Yeah.
By guarding them. So we did we find something out? I don't know. Did we? Those guards aren't any better than, I mean, they're not a lot better than the A&M guy. He's not a lot better than them. I mean,
I think Radford is better.
He's better, but he's not. We were giving up easy drives to Radford. We didn't give up that against this.
They just made every shot.
They just made everything they looked at. And especially the Stevens. Look, most of the time we had him guarded. There were a few times when we lost him and he buried us for it. Mm-hmm. But there was a shot he made. We cut it to one. He went to the corner on an out of bounds play and he had Alan Flanagan draped all over him and he drilled a 3 falling out of bounds. Yeah.
You just live. Those are
the ones you just shake their hand and go, "That's a hell of a shot."
Yeah, that's a good shot.
It's a hell of a shot. So, he's not going to make that all the time, and there's not a lot of guys that will. However, like you said, Wednesday you go back home, you play a pretty darn good Georgia team right now. They are not the bottom of the barrel.
Nope.
And they beat you. And you should have that revenge on your mind. And you should have starting a new streak at home on your mind. You got to get this one.
Yeah.
You have to get that. This is a have-to game. And then you go to Tennessee Saturday afternoon. 2 o'clock, Thompson Bowling. That place will be loud, and it's huge. And they're playing better than any team I've seen in a while.
They're playing unbelievable basketball.
Texas couldn't do anything in the first half against them.
Yep.
And you just hope that you can stay in the game until the end and maybe pull one out. And if you do, then that's a big dub and you move on. If you don't, you weren't expected to, and you move on.
Yep.
But you need this. You need to beat Georgia Wednesday evening.
Yeah, just like I mentioned earlier, it's all about this February. Mm-hmm. This Auburn team could go. I could see them being, if they have a dominant February and they get hot and they start playing their best basketball and they start defending better and they defend that home court just like we've seen them do, they could reach up to a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament and maybe like a 2 seed in the SEC. If they struggle and they don't face the adversity and they fold and we're playing like we did against Texas A&M and we're not making shots, we're not defending the home floor, they could drop to a 8 or 9, maybe a 10.
They could drop out.
Yeah.
Because we don't have quad one wins.
No. So it all depends on this February and the adversity and the mental toughness of this basketball team. And I'm excited to see. I know Bruce Pearl and the staff will have the team ready. I'm excited to see if we can use it and win some basketball games, because just like we mentioned, it's a dogfight ahead. But we'll go ahead and get out of here. If you want to find either of us on Twitter, at Gray Oldenburg, at War Eagle Hoops. For the YouTube listeners, subscribe and like down below. If you're listening on podcasts, subscribe as well. We thank y'all for listening to another edition of the Jungle Show. We'll be back later on this week to discuss the Georgia game. Thank y'all.
And look ahead to Tennessee.
Yep. War Eagle.
War Eagle.